Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Hope everybody's been served. And on the night that this is the Last Supper, on that night that Jesus was betrayed, as he's being with his disciples after sharing his heart and loving them and telling them where he was going, what was going to happen. I'm sure that was a very emotional night for all those that were surrounding him. But at that time, after giving thanks, he took bread and he broke it. And this was a representation of his body that would be broken in so many ways. As he hung on the cross, as they hit him with the lashes, as they put the crown on his head, there were so many things that his body took upon himself so that we wouldn't, so that we could be whole. And so as we take this symbolism, this bread, to know that this is the body of Christ, and he paid, he took upon himself all sickness, all disease, all those things that should have been for us, he took it upon himself. So as you take this in, just do it in a thankful way. Because we don't have to go through what he went through. So please take the bread. And in the same way, he took the cup and he says to all his disciples, to this was also a symbolism of the blood that was shared. The blood that covered our sin. There was so much more that the blood of Jesus represents. He gave everything, every part of his blood. And he said even when they stuck that spear in him, there was no more blood, there was just water. So every drop of blood that he had in his body was given for us, for you. So please take the cup. And just take a few moments to, he says, to do this in remembrance of what he did.
Morning, church. Thank you, worship team. I was almost thinking I should put those slide lyrics up and that'd be the prayer, you know? just one more. There. Let's see. I heard this thing disintegrate last time. Is that what you said, Pastor? All right, I'll be careful. All right. Okay. There we go. Well, like I said, welcome everybody. It is now 2021. Yeah. So I'm here to tell you, you know, magic flip switch has been flipped. Everything's going back to normal. Don't have to worry about anything. Yeah. No. Okay. Maybe it's not like that. You know, but really, you know, we do have a new chance, or a chance every day to be renewed, to have a new start, thanks to Jesus, right? So, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I just ask that today you reveal your word to us, you let us understand it. Let us just become a part of us and who we are so that we change in a way that pleases you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, well, I was going to make some kind of joke about hindsight is 2020 or something like that, but I won't do that. You know, 2020 was a crazy year, right? Crazy. Not a great year for a lot of people. and I think it's something where, because of the way that the year was, because, like, not only was there this whole pandemic thing, which, you know, we haven't experienced ourselves probably, you know, before, at least I haven't. Besides that, you know, we had a lot of other stuff that happened. And all that we could see is that really that there was a lot of confusion. Don't know what's true, what's not. And it's something where you could see that the world suffered because of that. I kind of want to just like have you guys, you know, answer silently to yourself. If I were to ask you these questions, what would your answers be? So if I asked you, what do you think about coronavirus? What would you think about? What kind of attitude would you have, you know? If I ask you, should you wear a mask? Should you not wear a mask? Should you get the vaccine? Shouldn't you get the vaccine? If I ask something about race relations, police, use of force, you know, what are your views on all that? And then, like a big thing this year too is gender politics issues, identity. You know, what would your views be on that? Now, if I brought somebody in that had an opposing view to you, and let's say I just put them in front of you and I kind of told him, he's like, hey, you know, this person thinks this. How would you view that person right away? You know, what kind of judgment would you make about them? And then, on top of that, you know, would you be able to discuss things with them? Or would there even be a chance of discussion? How have you treated people that had different viewpoints than you? Now, as Christians, there's a certain way we're supposed to handle things. There's certain things that we're for, there's certain things that we're against, just because we know God's word states those things. But, you know, when we talk about those things, first of all, are we trying to tell people this is what's right? Or are we trying to offer them a better life with Jesus? That's really the thing that we should be doing. But, you know, I've seen it all over the place from believers, non-believers, that if you bring up any of those issues, you can't talk to each other a lot of times. It becomes an argument. And it really shouldn't be that. One of the greatest things that we have as Christians is compassion and how we can treat people. Because if you look at Jesus, when he went to the woman at the well, you know, he didn't say, you know, you're with a lot of guys, you know. No, I mean, he actually, you know, say, you know, where's your husband? And then he offered her, you know, eternal life. He didn't look at her as somebody that was in the wrong. He was just looking at her as his creation. So, you know, we may not think that the things that we say are a big deal. James 1:26, it says this. It says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Now, this can kind of talk about people who say they're a Christian, but truly, you know, do they really have a relationship with Jesus? Are they really a disciple, a follower of God? No. But this can also talk about people who, you know, profess to be a Christian, but because of certain circumstances in their life, maybe they kind of like drifted away from being a person who had a control over their tongue. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 23 through 26, it says this. It says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. Now, 2020, I would say, was full of a lot of stupid arguments, foolish ones. And I've even seen people where, like, I used to work with them. They started a page. I used to work at a big internet company. And they said that, you know, I regret to inform you that so-and-so passed away. I hadn't been in touch with them for a while because of our political views. And they regretted it. And there's people all over this country who are losing relationships, missing out on experiences with other people, and having regret because of silly things like that. Because in light of your life, how important is it for something like, let's say with a president, they can serve 8 years total, right? Okay, so after that 8 years, you have this damaged relationship. Was it worth it? So, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, must be kind to everyone. It doesn't say believers, doesn't say non-believers. It says everyone. If you agree with you or not, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed. Gently. Okay, so like if we were talking about earlier about what do you think about all these things? Now, could you talk to somebody about these views and not have an argument? Well, right here it tells us opponents must be treated gently. And it says, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. And see, that's what's more important, because we have these temporary things that we have knowledge of. We have these temporary things that we have ideas of, but they're nothing in the light of eternity. Everything's going to pass away except for God and his word. Okay? So that knowledge that we have of certain things of this world, it's going to go away. It's not going to be worth anything. So what's more important? That we hold on to the truths that are in the Bible, that are eternal, or we hold on to the truth that is temporary? It's going to go away. It's going to be nothing. Nobody's going to even think about it when we're in heaven. So it says, and then they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. We also have to look at people and see that there are people who don't believe in God, that they're deceived. And it's up to us to help them to not be deceived, right? Now, there are going to be people who do not accept the message that is about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it's not up to us to determine whether we think they're going to accept it or not. It's just up to us to relay that to them. We have to understand that when we're talking to them, that they may be under this deception that the world is better or that there is no God. And you know, there's even people that could be deceived themselves because they've bought into something that they shouldn't have. You know, there's a lot of stuff this year. I'd seen these like viral videos on YouTube. This is prophecies. It's like, God's going to do this in this month. God's going to do this in that month. You know how seriously God takes it when somebody prophesies and they're wrong? It's like, don't say that. Don't say because the Lord says, unless the Lord says. And you have to be careful of people who make those claims. So if you've seen these prophecies, because it's intriguing. It'll draw you in, it'll suck you in. It's like, oh wow, because like it's this secret knowledge nobody else has. I want to share this. You know, you got to see this. But a lot of times it's like we may not even know the true source of this information. They might add some Bible verses, but do you know these people personally? Have you looked at scripture and said, is there anything that kind of like violates what they're saying? And then ultimately, like, does it come true? A lot of it hasn't. There's a lot of people now. Okay. President-elect Biden hasn't been sworn in yet. Okay. So there's still time for something crazy to happen, right? But there are many people who prophesied that President Trump was going to have a second term and he was going to win by a landslide. Okay. And then they said all these other things are going to happen. I've even seen prominent televangelists do it. And, you know, it's something where, you know, we take this in, we buy into it. And it's because it agrees with what we believe. Now there's times where, you know, yeah, I'm gonna go with prophecy. I'm gonna believe for things. Like pastor, he believed for this church. Do we have it today? Yeah, we do. Now I'm sure you didn't expect to get it the way that we got it either. So it is important to believe that there is prophecy in the world, because there is. Okay, it's one of the gifts of the Spirit. But it's also important that we don't get caught up in things just because it seems intriguing to us, but it's something that is going to more strengthen and further our faith. And then when those prophecies turn out to be true, we have to look at the people and see, what do they say afterwards about being wrong? Are they repenting of that? Or are they just saying, well, you know, I was just a little bit off. Let's change it a little bit. It doesn't work that way, because God knows everything, right? So if he told somebody what was going to happen, he would give them the complete message to say, okay, that's going to glorify my name by saying this is going to happen. So let's look at Matthew chapter 5, and this is verses 43 to 48. And it says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those that love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And that if you greet your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So, you know, a lot of these people that we see out there in the world that are upset and angry, doing things, because, like, you know, we saw a lot of protests, saw a lot of riots, which is another crazy thing we never thought we saw in the year, right? You know, when we saw those people, you know, I actually heard people that were saying, I don't care, bring in the military, shoot them all. I've heard that. And you know what? They deserve to get arrested for, you know, vandalizing things? Yeah, right? But do they deserve to die? No. But you see that people have this thing in them, like when that rage builds up, that'll just come out like that, right? When we see the people, we need to see that, as we were talking about earlier, are they deceived? You know, what is actually causing them to act in that way? Is there something that we could do that might help that? Can we pray for them? Absolutely. Can we teach them a better way? Absolutely. Can we show support on the things that we agree on? Yes. Should we have a civil discourse? Yes. Because strife will just give you more strife. Anger and anger, rage and rage. Now, there's this other thing too. It's like, I hear from a lot of people at work. I have some friends at work that, they're not believers, right? And they know my stance on things. Because, I'm not going to hide the fact I'm a Christian, right? But, from what I see, the world, they kind of have a certain view of what Christians are right now. Okay. First of all, we're supporters of President Trump. We're Republicans. We support the police, pro-life, anti-lockdown, anti-mask. Okay. I'm not saying any of that's good or bad. I'm just saying that's what they view us as. Okay. A lot of people. But what I'm going to say is that what we should be known for. Nowhere in the Bible do I see that that's kind of like our focus, what it should be. And I know people what's that word I'm looking for? Have a caricature of us as Christians sometimes. But, they'll overemphasize certain things. But, really, if we were doing a lot of the right thing, there would be no denying what we were about. No denying. I mean, we should be known for love, unity, charity, kindness, goodness, compassion. So, and you know what? There's a lot of stuff that is just very clear in the Bible. In Galatians chapter 5, it says this. We all know this one, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So, us as Christians, we should be known for those things, right? That's what we're supposed to be about. That our lives should reflect that. It shouldn't be so many things of what we're against, but what we're for. Because it's easy to be against stuff. It's a lot harder to show people love and kindness, especially when they don't like you. And then it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. So that means like that part of us in there that's fighting to say, this is what I think is right. This is what I think we should do is crucified, right? We have power over that now. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not be conceited. Okay, there's a lot of that going on. I know better. Provoking. We see any of that? And envying each other. So, if we are living by the Spirit, we should be living exactly as God would want us to be. Let's look at fruit a different way. Put up Luke chapter 6, please. All right. So, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings the good things out of his heart, stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings out the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Right? It's a pretty easy concept. It's like, what is your heart full of right now? One thing could be, what are you putting in there? If it's scripture, if you're praying, if it's love, it's going to be good stuff, right? But, you know, if we look at a lot of these things where it sensationalizes certain things, like if we look at news pundits, like people on the internet posting videos from their truck. I don't know why it's their truck. It's always a truck. But if we look at, you know, the attitude that they treat people with. I mean, it used to be you could kind of find some news that seemed like it wasn't biased, right? But now it's very obvious what kind of bias certain news channels have, right? Fox News, MSNBC, CNN. I mean, it's something where they don't just report, they put their spin on it, like, this is what you should think. And then when they're talking about this stuff, how is it they're talking about it? Are they saying it calmly? Are they just telling you facts? Or are they maybe putting some emotion behind it, right? Are they yelling about something? Are they calling somebody stupid? Are they degrading and demeaning people? A lot of times, yeah. Because that's what will get people to watch. They don't really care about what it's going to do to you or your soul, your heart. All they care about is they're going to make some money off of it. You may agree with what they're saying, but in the way that they're saying it, that's going to change you eventually. You know, the people that we surround ourselves with have a huge influence on the kind of person that we are. You know, there's, I forget what proverb it is, but it's saying, you know, it pretty much is telling us to choose our friends wisely. We have to be careful. Same thing as to the information that we're putting into ourselves. Because we get this stuff where we're not really thinking about how things are being said or portrayed. Well, then we're just going to take that in without filtering out all the bad stuff. We're just like, oh yeah, that's what I think. We have this thing called confirmation bias, where, you know, if somebody says something we agree with, we just accept it. It's very hard to listen to something that's contrary to what you think is truth. Now, when it comes to scripture, there's a lot of stuff you cannot change my mind on. Okay, we can talk about it, but, like, you know, I'm going to believe that Jesus died, rose, you know, 3 days later. He died for our sins. It's going to cover all of it, right? But, you know, there's certain other things where maybe I don't fully understand it yet. Like, I'm going to talk about Romans chapter 9, and that is a crazy chapter when you read it, where I just can't wrap my head around some of the things that God is putting forth in there. So, you know, it's just something where, you know, if we see, like I was saying, if we're seeing this news or, you know, this post on the internet that go with what we're saying, but they do it in a way that's demonizing people, disparaging people, how is it we're going to see those people? It's like, yeah, they are bad. Yeah, they are evil. Instead of seeing them as they're also the creation of God. They're made in the image of Christ. Where's our compassion? And the other thing is right now it seems like love really doesn't have the place of honor and respect it deserves. Right now, it seems like people are more concerned and focused on power and authority. Where, you know, if we have power and authority here, we're going to be controlling it all, right? But we forget, how is it that we're supposed to treat people? Are we doing it because we want our views just pushed out there? Or are we doing it because we love people and that we want to change their lives for the better? Even though you're trying to do the same thing, the reason behind it is different, and you're going to have a different outcome because of that. So let's go to Luke chapter 19. This is verse 1 through 10. But sometimes we just don't see what somebody who is a non-believer, who they truly are, and what that could mean. And this is also a familiar story. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. Mom. So he ran. Nobody, you didn't hear that, right, Mom? So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. And since Jesus was coming that way, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. Okay? So, first of all, that's the way a lot of people are viewing people who have different values and ideas than us right now. Right? That's a sinner over there. You know, what political party did you say they're part of? Sinner. Yep, nope. That because they chose that party, they're completely corrupt and immoral. All right. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Okay, so do you think those people in the crowd saw that coming? Do they think that they would believe that this guy who's a tax collector, they really despised, who he said he, you know, cheated people, that he would pay people back? But did he just pay them back? No, he paid back four times the amount, right? And he gave away, what, half his possessions? Is that what it said? Yeah. Right. So, because God was willing to look past who he was and knew who he was going to be, not only did he do all that, but we're talking about him right now. We're going to be talking about him for eternity, right? I mean, because that word's not going to pass away. This guy changed lives, okay? Who knows who read this and thought, you know what? It's going to be okay for me. Jesus will accept me. Now, those people in that crowd, they saw him as a sinner, despised him, but God saw that he had a bigger purpose. And that's how we need to look at people, is that everybody has some kind of value that we do have to try to win them over to the kingdom. Does that mean we preach the gospel to them right away? No, we just do what God tells us to do. But we don't view them as an enemy to be subdued. We look at them as somebody that needs to be loved. Because there's a lot of people that don't really know what that is, what the true meaning of that is. And if you're taught something contrary to that for such a long time, It's not going to change. And then it goes on. Let's see here. Today, salvation has come to this house because this man is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The lost. Right? Because you don't have to be saved if you've already been found, right? So, all right. So, the other thing, too, is I am concerned for the country. Not because of who is going to be president, but because people forgot who the king is. Because no matter who is in power, who's still in charge? Who's able to change hearts? Who's able to change every circumstance? Because everything is possible with God. But I feel like, you know, there's so many things this year where people were looking to governments to say that they're responsible for whether they have a livelihood or not, whether they're going to struggle or survive, when the answer this entire time was God. So I want to take a look at a few things where God had chosen some leaders. And just show that, like, sometimes God's not going to make the choice that we thought would be the choice. Can you bring up Habakkuk, please? So this is from the prophet Habakkuk. And this is his prayer. It's like, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you? Violence, but you do not save. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There's strife and conflict abounds. Does it sound familiar? Therefore, the law is paralyzed. Injustice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. So, I mean, it sounds like he's asking for something that's like, hey, God, look at us. You know, we're going through all these problems. We need some help. Help us out, right? So, I mean, that sounds reasonable, right? So then it goes on to this, verses 5 and 6. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. Then it goes on to talk about how powerful and great they are and strong and how godless they are. So why would God do that? You know, he's like, God, we need help. He's like, oh yeah, this is what I'm sending you. The Babylonians, they're going to come and take over. Right? That doesn't, it's like, oh no, we're good, God. Just leave it as it is. We don't need to be, you know, taken over. We're good. So, do you think that if we heard anything from God today like that, that we'd accept it? Because it just doesn't sound right, right? It sounds weird. It's like, no, I'm the king's kid. You know? It's all sunshine and rainbows for me. No. No. So, let's look at this. Zechariah 11:16. This is another leader. God's talking again. For I'm going to raise up a shepherd over the land who will not care for the lost, or seek the young, or heal the injured, or feed the healthy, but will eat the meat of the choice sheep, tearing off their hooves. It's a good, great picture, right? Yeah. So, doesn't sound like a good leader, does it? I'll tell you, though, it does work out for everybody. Don't worry. You know, God does come to help him. But, you know, sometimes God does things where we're not really expecting him. He does things in ways we don't expect. He makes a choice we don't expect. And we don't see it coming. And it could be for a few reasons. One, it could be just God isn't going to reveal it to us for some reason. Or we couldn't even be asking, maybe. Maybe we should be asking. God, what do you want? Because a lot of times we just see these binary choices, right? It's like, okay, well, we can reelect President Trump. We could elect Joe Biden, right? We see those two choices. And then now we were just talking about God can do even the impossible, right? Why isn't it we're talking about, okay, God, first of all, what is it you really want? And second of all, is there another choice that I'm not seeing here? Is there's some way that I don't really get? Because you know what? It's very possible that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways, right? That because he is the person that laid the foundation of the earth, created the universe, created us. He's the beginning, the end. That he may know something that we don't. Right? There's a lot of times where we have another choice, but because we don't make a petition to God for that choice, we don't know what's there. If we look at, you don't have to bring it up, but if we look at Jeremiah chapter 18, you can read this, but it's long. God is talking to Jeremiah. And what he's talking about is like, you know what? I can decide to raise up nations whenever I like. I can put them down whenever I like. If I see that they're about to do evil, yeah, I'm not going to bless that. It's just like, you know, I have this kid over here. Okay, he's not too old. But if he was doing something wrong, should I reward that? No. Because I'm just going to reinforce those values in him, right? So, you know, there's times where God makes a different choice for us because there's something to learn there. You know, there's a lot of people that wouldn't get involved in any kind of fight if they didn't have an opponent. You know, they wouldn't look for something to do. I mean, that's the thing when it comes to serving God. You know, some people might find their calling because they see a fight come along. Not necessarily calling, but find something to do. Let's say that. Because, you know, they want to display, this is what I can do. Not so much being a champion for God. Let's look at Romans 9. Like I was telling you before, this chapter, it's a pretty tough one for me. Just in the way he kind of talks about how God's going to do what he's going to do, you know? So like right here, for scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose. So he raised him up so he could harden his heart. Pharaoh hardened his own heart too. But he raised him up for that purpose, that I might display my power in you, that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Okay. Sometimes God's going to do something where it might be uncomfortable for some people, right? You know, did Pharaoh make it kind of uncomfortable for some people? Right? You might be doing that for a reason. Now, am I saying that whoever's going to be the president, looks like President-elect Biden, that he's this evil ruler? Well, we'll see. I don't think so, but I think it's going to be a lot like a lot of the presidents we've had before. We've survived. Okay. We've seen things happen in this country, good and bad, but it wasn't the complete ruin of it. And, you know, as we know, the only thing that's eternal is God and his kingdom, right? So let's look at this. It's Proverbs 3, it's 1 through 6. And it says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart." We need to remember that when we're doing things like Sundays, Bible reading, study, that it's not something where it's just we're doing it to check off a box. That there's supposed to have some kind of lasting value to it. And then we do have the Holy Spirit. It's going to bring things to our remembrance, but in order to remember something, you need to learn something, right? You need to know something. You need to gain understanding of something. So, "For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." Now, did you catch that? If we do this thing, we're going to win favor in the sight of who? God and man. Not because we're pushing our point of view, but because we're doing something biblically. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." So just remember that there's many times where there could be choices that are set before us, but there could be a choice that we don't see. And that it's ultimately God. If we go along with that, that will give us the right choice. So it may be only the choices we see, but how do we know which one is right if we don't ask God first? If we don't know the values that are maintained and contained in Scripture, if we just know what we've heard from some guy up on the stage rather than what we've learned personally for ourselves, because like, I'm not trying to lead you astray or anything, but you shouldn't just look at me as like, yeah, what he's saying is true. It's good. It's like you go back and you look at these scriptures for yourself and make sure that they're true. You don't just go along with anybody that says stuff. So just know that we could be limiting God if we're just praying from one choice or the other. But just say, just look to God. Where are you leading me? What do you want me to do? And I know that you'll equip me for anything. And that I know you'll reveal anything to me that needs to be revealed. Because there's more power in that. There's peace, there's joy, there's happiness and all that. And then when we make our choices, there's a good chance it's going to fail. We have to lean on to our understanding of God, not our own, of whatever the circumstances. And there's a lot of times with choice that people may pray for something, they don't get it, and they're unhappy. Right? There's a lot of times people are unhappy because they don't get what they prayed for. But a lot of times people are unhappy because they don't take what God's already given them. So the choices, the actions that we make, it's important. They are all led by God. Being in scripture, through our prayer. They shouldn't be led by us. So let's go ahead and pray. God, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for this wonderful church. Thank you for this new year. Let us be a fresh start for us. And God, let us know what your choices are. Reveal them to us in a way where we cannot deny it's anything other than you. Thank you for your love. And help us to show that love to other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you, Lord, for what you spoke to our hearts this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. How many enjoyed that word this morning? Man, I tell you what. Praise God. You know what? You get a chance. Yeah. Talk to Abe, let him know how much you enjoyed the word coming through him, you know. There's one thing that I felt while Abe was speaking is this, is we must be about our Father's business. How many say that? Say amen to that. And we got to be looking, we got to look at our lives and see what's going on. Why do I feel like this, God? What are you saying to me? God, what are you trying to do in my life, God? So allow the Holy Spirit just to move you in the places that where He wants you to be. Amen? You must be about your Father's business. Amen? Hallelujah. What business is that? He wants to speak that to you. He wants to give you insight and understanding of what He has for you. So speak to Him this year. How many are glad for 2021? Hallelujah. I'm glad for 2020. Hallelujah. A lot of things I did not like, but I know that God was constantly saying, find me, seek me, and you will find me. Seek me and you'll find me. So folks, I'm excited about what God's doing. Let's look forward to this year. Amen. Hallelujah. And God, let's say to God, hey, God, whatever you have for me, God, I'm your man or I'm your woman, whatever. Yes, Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hug some people's necks on your way out. Tell them you love them. And let's have a great day. Oh, we have a word for you real quick. Hold on.
Okay. One of the things that God's been putting on my heart, and it fits with what the sermon was saying, and it's Psalm 46:10. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will exalt among the nations. I will exalt in the earth. The Lord, the host, is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And one of the things that says on the next chapter, it says, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of trumpets. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is great king over all the earth. So He is a great king all over the earth. So praise God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.